9, 10, blah, blah. Okay, doctor, good afternoon. This is, good morning, actually, February 20, 1996. I'm David Farrell, and I've spoken to you in the past, and I'm researching the origins of the group Narcotics Anonymous, which functioned in New York City in the early 50s. And I wonder if you could tell me how you first became involved with that group.
Well, a friend of mine named Bradford Chambers was doing a book, and he told me about, on narcotics, told me about Danny Carlson. He told me that he was had started this organization, the drug addicts, Narcotics Anonymous, that he was on welfare, suffering a lot, not able to get any funding, and not getting any recognition, and that he was trying to form a board of bona fide professional citizens of character and reputation that he could use to support his efforts to legitimize his fundraising. And he introduced me to Danny and asked me if I would be willing to join their board, and I consented.
What year do you suppose that would have been? Okay, probably the early 50s, 51, 52 perhaps. Now, the board which you formed, would that have been NACON?
Yeah.
That's the National Advisory Council on Narcotics.
Right, that was to be the fundraising arm of Narcotics Anonymous.
I see. And that was incorporated in New York State, I believe in 1952. I have the articles of incorporation. Okay. Now, what was your impression of Danny when you first met him?
He was a very conscientious person. In fact, he turns out to be one of the few former addicts that managed to stay clean for the rest of his life that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled very hard and made a lot of personal sacrifices on behalf of trying to get some rationality into the treatment of a drug addiction.
I see. Did they have an office at that time?
Well, they didn't pay rent on an office, no.
Mm-hmm. Because at one point they had an office in the, I believe it was called the Labor Temple in New York City.
Yes, I never was down there,
okay.
Actually. He was working with Barbara Doyle, and they constituted the staff, and they got a lot of assistance through Major Berry from the Salvation Army.
Right.
And she, I think, was on the board.
Were you involved in any of his efforts to send patients down to Lexington and then bring them back and try to get them involved in...
Not directly.
I see. Okay. Now, what exactly did your role end up being on the board of NACON and with respect to Narcotics Anonymous?
Well, I agreed to check out the possibility of professional people working with drug addicts using psychotherapy and group psychotherapy, because it was generally believed they were untreatable, and they were actually referred to as dope fiends.
Right.
People were very afraid of them. They thought that drug taking led to very violent behavior, and so people were terrified of them. And I agreed to start a therapy group with a group of referrals from Danny.
I see. Did you attend any Narcotics Anonymous meetings?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And who else do you recall having served on the board?
I had a friend at that time, Charlie Winnick.
Right.
And I asked him if he would be willing to serve on the board, and he agreed.
Okay. Now, did you come to witness the demise of the group Narcotics Anonymous?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Did the laws at that time in any way impede the proliferation, if you will, of meetings?
Well, not that I knew directly, but it was rumored that the police were not too happy to have drug addicts associating with each other in groups. And it was generally believed that if drug addicts came together, they'd be arrested. And I was told that there might be some danger if I had invited a group of drug addicts to my office to get together and talk. But the police never
contacted
me. There was never anything like that that actually happened.
I suppose the scary guy in all this was Harry Anslinger at that time.
Yes. He was really scary.
Did you meet Ray Lopez?
No.
Did you ever hear the name Ray Lopez?
No.
Okay, she was involved in NA and actually became a paid member of New York City Council on Narcotics Addiction.
Yes, what I was instrumental in doing is trying to quell the fears after I had this group. I wanted to experiment with the possibility of introducing other professionals to treating drug addicts. And through Marie Nicewander and NACON, we got the New York Postgraduate Center for Psychotherapy to agree to collaborate with us on an experimental project in which we would get professional psychologists, psychiatrists, and social workers to be willing to take addicts into their practice on an experimental basis and to meet together as a group and discuss what kind of special problems transpired with the treatment of drug addicts and to keep records and to see whether our experience led to a conclusion about whether drug addicts could be treated in private practice and whether there was any hope in that direction. So we set up this postgraduate experiment in the treatment of drug addicts.
Was that at NYU?
No, it was a freestanding training institute on the east side in New York.
Oh.
It was called the New York Postgraduate Institute for Psychotherapy.
Is it still around?
Yeah.
It's still there?
Yeah.
Institute for Psychotherapy.
I don't know exactly, but the name is identically the same.
I see.
So, under their auspices, 20 or so professionals volunteered their services, and we met as a clinical group and discussed the problems. And we eventually published a report of our findings after a year.
Was that the Journal of Orthopsychiatry? Do you know the date of publication of that?
I don't have it in front of me.
Do you have a copy of that?
I sent you a copy.
Oh, that's right. I do have that. You're absolutely correct. You sent that down to me. Yes.
And you'll see that on the staff there were a number of people, and the Marie Nicewander joined us, and a social worker named, I've forgotten his first name, Brill, and Charlie Winnick and myself. We
were right.
The professional staff that wrote the article.
Yeah, I see. How many times did you meet Danny Carlson?
Maybe 20.
Okay.
Our contacts were mostly by telephone and through mutual contact.
Okay. Do you recall his death? I believe he died in
I think I had lost touch with him by then.
I see. When did you cease your involvement with NACON? And
I would say with the publication of that article, my contact with NACON substantially ended.
Okay. Now, the publication you referred to, Bradford Chambers, I have been unable to find such a publication. Do you know if he was ultimately able to publish that book?
Yes. It appeared as a paperback. I had a copy of it, and I'll make a note to myself to search my bookshelves and see if I can recover it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be fantastic. Did you ever meet an individual named Wendell Brown, who was writing a book that ultimately was published under the name Monkey on My Back?
No,
okay. Well, Doctor, thank you very much. And I think at this point I'll stop taping. And I'd like to just have a few more minutes of your time, if you will. So at this point I'm going to stop the tape recorder.
Okay.